Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Hey, hey, welcome back to Autumn's Oddities. I am Autumn. Well, I'm recording at an earlier time and on an earlier day of the week, not because I actually recorded a day earlier, but because I have figured out how to effectively and safely travel through wormholes. Don't you ask anyone if that's possible. Don't consult a physicist. Just trust that I've been watching enough Donnie Darko or that I have watched it enough times that I know what I'm doing. Just trust me. But really, though, we are going to an AEW house show tonight, or it's not a house show. It's their regular Wednesday episode. Going to watch some wrestling. And tomorrow or Thursday is our daughter's huge evaluation. Oh, God, I'm extremely nervous for it. And then Friday, we're going to a Death Cab for Cutie concert. I'm going to put my little emo. I don't know. I wouldn't really consider them to be emo. They were like on the soft end of emo for me, but you know what I mean. I'm going to put my little sad hat on. So I've got a busy week that will probably be emotionally taxing for a number of reasons, but hopefully some fun will be had in there as well. Today's case is yet another one that I had never heard of, but it has some of my favorite elements. It's got all the makings of a really like very interesting movie. I'm shocked it hasn't been made into one yet. It's a mysterious case involving a supposed clandestine cave at Area 51 and the unsolved disappearance of the man who may have found it. The Mojave Desert north of Las Vegas was the setting of a mystery that has captivated internet sleuths, with several million following the story online. This strange story began in 2014 when YouTube user SnakeBitMcGee, it's a great name, posted a video about having an otherworldly experience as he approached a hidden cave shaped like a capital M. This cave wasn't just located in the desert, though. It was supposedly in the Sheep Mountain Range, which is close to one of the most intriguing sites on the planet, Area 51. If you don't know, Area 51 is the largest adjoining air and ground space in the free world. This government land houses both Nellis Air Force Base and Area 51. The infamous facility allegedly houses the wreckage of alien spacecraft and possibly aliens themselves. I like to picture Area 51 looking like Men in Black, just all kinds of different aliens working, doing like clerical jobs and shit. Kind of sucks. It's like they came from another galaxy, but now they got to sit here and like push buttons all day. Sort of meaningless, isn't it? So the disappearance has caused many people to fall down the conspiracy theory rabbit hole and to speculate about what really happened to SnakeBitMcGee, aka Kenny Veach. Maybe he got too close to something that the government didn't want anyone to see. Or maybe he was attacked by some desert bandits. Most unexciting of all, could he have just succumbed at the hands of the desert and its harsh conditions? 47-year-old Kenny Veach was described by his daughter as a great father who loved to laugh. His brother and family said that he had an uncanny ability to connect with people and to inspire them, which is perhaps the reason that he started his own YouTube channel. He had so much energy. There's tons of footage of him. He took video of himself doing just about everything. And he had a lust for life that was matched only by his lust for adventure. He had a lot of interests, but most of them revolved around one thing, the desert. Kenny was astounded by the beauty and the life that was native to the desert. He would take his daughter out to look at the flora and fauna often. I choked on my own words there. But he would also sojourn out into the desert far beyond where cell phone coverage dares to tread. He would collect various plants and seeds to put in jars, and he would seek out old deserted towns and mines, all the while hunting for treasures that most people would consider to be junk. But Kenny would use them as decor because he was just a creative little cowboy. Having grown up just outside of Las Vegas, the desert was a huge part of Kenny's life. As children, he and his brother would walk right out the front door of their house and into the vast expanse of the surrounding desert. They would hike, explore, and find animals to study. And the brothers quickly learned to forage and were able to snack on various plants and nuts that were native to the area. That sounds like a blast. Me personally, I just walked onto land and forest that was surrounding our house and sat in the woods with a book, like hidden by the trees by a little pond. Yeah, same thing, kind of, I guess. Not really. So Kenny was so engrossed in the Mojave Desert that he seemed to be blissfully unaware of the grim realities of that unforgiving landscape. Kenny was described as a distance hiker who prided himself on how far he could go without drinking water, which, duh, can be very, very dangerous. He liked to go on hikes and pretend that he had no supplies with him, even though he did bring food and water just to push his body to its limit. Me personally, I would have eaten all of the snacks in 30 seconds and then be in like real trouble if something went wrong. He was also a free climber and he refused to hike an actual trail. He preferred to blaze his own. If Kenny was out hiking with his family or friends, he would just, you know, do like a quick hike, just like 9 hours in the desert, which that sounds like a lot to me. But if he went solo, it was an overnight trip, sometimes up to 4 nights. Yeah. So it was during one of these off the beaten path nature hikes that Kenny claimed to have stumbled upon the mysterious cave. He claimed that this cave was emitting some kind of supernatural energy, some sort of vibration, and it terrified him so much that he did not go inside. He said that he could not bring himself to go in. And that is where the mystery begins. Eric Cacinero is a journalist and the author of Odyssey of a Ghost Town Explorer. He studied this case extensively, and he wrote an article about Kenny for Nevada Magazine in 2019. I used it quite a bit for source material. He is fascinated with the story that evolved after Kenny posted about his encounter with the mysterious desert cave. In late 2014, a strange comment was posted in response to a YouTube video titled "Son of an Area 51 Technician." The commenter was Las Vegas resident and avid hiker Kenny Veach, using the screen name Snakebit McGee. Unbeknownst to him at the time, his comment would set in motion a series of events that would lead to one of Nevada's most puzzling urban legends. The comment read, "That ain't nothing. I am a long-distance hiker. One time, during one of my hikes out by Nellis Air Force Base, I found a hidden cave. The entrance to the cave was shaped like a perfect capital M. I always enter every cave I find, but as I began to enter this particular cave, my whole body began to vibrate. The closer I got to the cave, the worse the vibrating became. Suddenly, I became very scared and I hightailed it out of there. That was one of the strangest things that ever happened to me." Kenny's comment sparked interest like wildfire. I mean, that's quite a claim. After posting his original comment, several YouTube users, of course, encouraged Kenny to go out and find the cave, and this time to go into it and to document the whole thing and provide evidence of his strange discovery. Many users challenged Kenny's claims and wanted proof, so of course, not being one to back down, Kenny obliged. He set off to find the mysterious cave for a second time, armed with a 9mm handgun and a video camera. He told his family he was going for a short overnight trip and had about a 10-hour hike ahead of him. What Kenny produced on this journey was the now infamous M-Cave hike video. The hike is pretty lighthearted. Kenny climbs mountains, he goes through canyons, and he trips along the way. Like, he's, even though he is an avid hiker, he trips, he's very goofy. He points out animals, including mountain goats. He eats some pine nuts. And by all accounts, he just seemed to be having a good time. Upon his return, he posted a video of his discoveries. Much to the dismay of those following this video and comment thread, Kenny was unable to locate the cave, and his video didn't seem to reveal any clues to the mysterious cave he had discussed in his original comment. When Kenny posted the video, people immediately, you know, like they do on the internet, called him out. They said the cave did not exist. The video was met with a lot of criticism, and YouTube commenters both encouraged and provoked him to try for a third time to go find the cave. Kenny again obliged, though one comment would stand out among all the others as a very ominous foretelling. It read, "No, do not go back there. If you find the cave entrance, don't go in. You won't get out." That comment has since been deleted from YouTube. It wasn't just the fact that Kenny claimed to feel strange vibrations coming from the cave. There was also the location of the cave. The M cave described by Kenny was located in very close proximity to Nellis Air Force Base and Area 51, only adding to the mystery. You know, anytime any of us hears Area 51, we immediately are like, what aren't they telling us? I want to believe. But the interest in the cave had grown so much on YouTube that Kenny decided to go ahead and give it one more try. On November 10th, 2014, after parking his vehicle in the Mojave around 6 a.m., Kenny started off on his hike. A little background on the Mojave Desert, just so we know what Kenny was walking into. It surrounds the city of Las Vegas, whose name, interestingly, means the meadow. Las Vegas was settled as a city because there is actually water there, but the desert that surrounds it is very, very different. At the time Kenny went missing, temperatures during the day reached 100 degrees and overnight could dip below freezing. It's said that humans can survive 3 days without water, but in the Mojave, that is not the case. The time frame is much shorter. In addition to the wildly fluctuating temperatures and the unforgiving terrain, there are predators and very dangerous animals that inhabit the region, including mountain lions and rattlesnakes. There are also people, you got to worry about them too, who venture out into the desert for nefarious reasons, such as body disposal and other criminal enterprises. I think we've all seen movies and TV shows where, you know, organized crime members go out and bury a body in the desert. Some people also live in the desert and are very private. They do not appreciate anyone encroaching on what they perceive to be their land. But one of the greatest dangers that I was unaware of in the desert lies below the surface. There are thousands of miles of abandoned underground mines in Nevada, roughly 250,000 of them. These mines are in such remote locations that they're just kind of like open. They're not closed off or anything. They're open tunnels or just friggin' holes in the ground. Some of them are safe and open for tours, but others are definitely not safe. Many of the mines are on the verge of collapsing just below the desert surface, so one false step in the wrong place could send a hiker plummeting to their death. Vehicles driving through the desert, including government vehicles, have actually had the desert floor give way, and one particular vehicle fell hundreds of feet into the abandoned mine below. Search and rescue efforts could not get the car out, and the driver of the vehicle, he died down there. They could not retrieve the body. The main takeaway from all of this information is that the desert is unpredictable, even if you are an experienced outdoors person like Kenny was. But back to Kenny's hike, now that you know a little bit about the Mojave. He left at about 6 a.m. and he told his girlfriend that he would be gone for two nights, possibly three. But Kenny Veach never came home. His girlfriend alerted authorities that, you know, he says, "I'm going to be gone for two, three nights." It's now been several days, and they went out looking. Kenny's vehicle was located at the top of the trailhead, roughly 3 miles up the mountain range. There was nothing in or around the vehicle to indicate foul play, and nothing to give any indication that something was amiss. After finding Kenny's car at the trailhead near Corn Creek Road, a search was conducted in the surrounding desert by Red Rock Search and Rescue. They did an initial search of the most likely areas that someone might be, including trails and washes. Later, they came back with specific missions at specific locations, and during one of the searches, the team made a discovery that would confound both law enforcement and Kenny's family. They found Kenny's cell phone and some coins near the entrance to a mine shaft. But it was not just any mine shaft. It was the mine shaft pictured in the now infamous M Cave hike video. In the video, Kenny shows viewers a very old boarded up mine shaft. It's like in the shape of a square, the boards are, with a ladder sticking out of it. And at one point, he points the camera down the narrow hole of the mine shaft, and it appears to be very deep. So obviously, the mine became an immediate point of interest for search and rescue. Red Rock Search and Rescue brought in a fire department with training specifically for mine shafts, because yes, I would imagine that is something that like not just anyone could do. The firefighters went into the mine shaft, but they did not find any sign of Kenny. So if he hadn't gone or fallen into the mine shaft, why had he left his cell phone there? Did he leave it on purpose, or had it just fallen from his pocket? Another question, after all of these search and rescues, why had none of his belongings, like his sleeping bag or his backpack, been found? And he also had his gun and spelunking gear with him, and none of that was ever found either. His family and authorities were left with way more questions than answers, and Kenny Veach seemed to have vanished into thin air. Kenny's girlfriend, Sharon, his daughter, Vicky, and his brother did not believe that Kenny had voluntarily disappeared. His girlfriend of 7 years, whom he met at a country line dancing bar, said that Kenny was a hilarious guy and just a big practical joker. He always had a slingshot with him and also a camera because he loved photography. Kenny was described as being very playful, and that playfulness often translated into adventure. And maybe it was that lust for adventure that pushed things a little too far. Kenny typically did go hiking alone, which is very dangerous, according to experts, because if something goes wrong, then you're on your own. But Kenny loved his time alone in the desert, and no one worried about the fact that there was no one with him in case things went sideways. Sharon described herself as a safety hiker, meaning that she brought every possible contingency with her on a hike. That's me. Anytime I leave the house, every single contingency item that you can think of, always. That's just how I do it. But Kenny was what she described as an unsafe hiker. He didn't bring much water, and he would usually only bring like one candy bar on long hikes. He would go without water until he absolutely needed it, and then he would take a sip, like when he was on the verge of dehydration or passing out, which is a terrible idea in the desert. And Kenny had another dangerous habit, spelunking, which is my nightmare, and I'm not even claustrophobic. Spelunking is cave exploration, sometimes in spaces that are only a few inches in height or width. It's incredibly, incredibly dangerous because caves are constantly shifting and changing. Many people have died while spelunking because it's just way too easy for something to go wrong when you're in a dark cave, sometimes underwater, squeezing through tiny spaces and rocks, wearing tons of heavy equipment. It is a hard, hard no from me. I want nothing to do with it. But Kenny was also fascinated by the abandoned mines. He loved the mystery of the tunnels, and he would always want his girlfriend to go with him, but she would only go as far as the light went, and then she was out. So people in Nevada are apparently forbidden to go into these mines because they are so unstable and unpredictable, but Kenny was fearless. Kenny also admitted to playing with rattlesnakes for fun and hiking in places that no one else did. So knowing all of this, did Kenny's adventurous spirit lead to his disappearance? Did he discover something that he shouldn't have, or was his disappearance part of a master plan? It's entirely possible that Kenny succumbed to the unforgiving terrain of the Mojave, but no one who knows him thinks that it's likely. He was immensely familiar with the region and had literally grown up in it. Kenny was able to navigate by landmarks. He was so familiar with the desert, so it's not likely that he became lost. So if he didn't get lost, could he have simply fallen into a mineshaft? Or could he have fallen victim to one of the many perils in the desert? After more than a dozen searches yielded no body, the online community began to speculate on what really happened to Kenny. And because of the close proximity to government facilities, they turned their attention back to the cave. Kenny reported strange vibrations in his body as he approached the M cave, leading many to believe that, you know, there was something nefarious being housed within, some sort of a weapon, something like that. Reddit and YouTube users speculated wildly as to what the cave might really be or what it was hiding. They threw out everything from the cave being a secret entrance to a government facility to some sort of alien presence residing within. At the very least, they believed that that cave housed something worth killing for. In September 2019, a Facebook group was created that encouraged members to storm Area 51 because that's a good idea, right? More than a million people signed up for the mission, and while most of them knew it was a joke, many were convinced that the government is hiding evidence of alien life. I'm one of them. I believe that. So two local
counties declared a state of emergency in preparation for what they called a possible invasion, and security was tightened up. Guys, it's just a bunch of nerds. Like, they ain't going to do anything. Media swarmed the area, and a CNN crew actually reached the entrance to Area 51, but they very quickly learned that's as close as they could get. If you've ever seen anyone post a video of them trying to get close to Area 51, out of nowhere, always, like, an unmarked vehicle pops up and dudes with guns just, like, stare at you till you leave. Like, you are not supposed to be there. In the end, though, the tone of this whole invade Area 51 thing was playful, again, because it's a bunch of friggin' nerds. They just, like, want to be there and be part of something. I would have been there, too. There were two arrests and no aliens were found, but of course, they did not actually get into the facility. Still, the conspiracy theories persist, including the most widely circulated theory that Area 51 does house the wreckage of alien spacecraft from the Roswell crash, probably others, and that for decades, scientists have been attempting to reverse engineer their technology. In reality, there are highly classified projects called black projects happening at Area 51. But it is completely unknown, you know, because these are classified projects, whether or not they have anything to do with alien life or technology. And that's just part of the mystique, I guess. The theory that we aren't alone in the universe has been prevalent since the Roswell incident, and probably before that. And Area 51 is the mecca for alien enthusiasts. In what seems to be odd timing, the Storm Area 51 event took place around the same time as the U.S. Navy declassified footage of reported UFO encounters. I've talked about this before on another episode. I don't remember which one, but we have talked about it. These are very real videos of naval pilots and crew members actually seeing and reacting to UAP off the Atlantic coast in 2015. As camera technology continues to improve, the veil seems to be lifting from certain government secrets. After decades of silence, the CIA finally acknowledged the existence of Area 51, even though everybody already knew it was there, declassifying documents in 2013. They only admitted that Area 51 existed in 2013. Those documents detailed the testing of covert surveillance technology like the U-2 spy plane. Former CIA members and personnel from Area 51 have claimed that even they don't really know what's going on inside the facility. I 100% believe that. I doubt that every single person that works in that facility knows everything that's going on. Why would they? Security clearances are different. I know that. This is also the area where the U.S. government tested atomic bombs. So for years, the desert was the site of massive atomic bomb testing, both above and below ground. Las Vegas itself was even branded as a destination for nuclear tourism. No, thank you. With its Chamber of Commerce publishing calendars listing the dates, times, and best locations to watch a nuclear bomb test. To this day, military operations and testing are done throughout Nevada, on government land, in and around Nellis Air Force Base and Area 51. There is so much that goes on out there that no one, and by no one, I mean like literally two people, maybe three, know about. So yeah, there are a lot of possibilities, and that's why there's so much speculation. And there's also the issue of surveillance equipment that can't be seen by the naked eye. Like, that's how the guys in trucks show up if you get too close. Maybe Kenny stumbled upon some secret military technology. Or is there an even more bizarre explanation? I don't know. Was he abducted by aliens? Who knows? Who's to speculate? I'm doing it right now. Officials from the FBI and CIA claim there is no covert military facility in the Mojave Desert, but skeptics aren't buying it. I mean, they didn't even acknowledge that Area 51 existed until 10 years ago. So the word of people who aren't allowed to discuss classified documents and projects doesn't really seem too reliable. Of course, they lie. They have to. They legally have to lie. If there was some clandestine weapon being housed there, what accounts for the vibrations that Kenny felt at the M cave? Some believe that they may be geological in nature and similar to the vortexes in Sedona. Tourists go there each year to feel the energy shift and vibrations, so maybe this could be something similar. Geologists also say that Nevada has a lot of seismic activity, so that could account for what Kenny felt. So there are a few possibilities as to what could have happened to Kenny Veach, but the question remains, where is he? Kenny's girlfriend finds one aspect of the whole thing odd. And I find this bizarre too. She says that he never mentioned anything about the M cave to her. His daughter also said that she found it odd that he filmed just about everything, but that he didn't film the entrance to the M cave. There are also several inconsistencies in Kenny's story as well. At the beginning of the M cave video, Kenny talks about how the cave was on the side of a mountain, but as he's walking through, he says it's at ground level. So does the M cave only exist in Kenny's mind, or is it real? I mean, he got tons of followers and views on his channel, so that would certainly be an incentive to concoct a wild story about a creepy cave near Area 51. That's clickbait. That's what we call clickbait. I don't know if that term existed then, but that's what it is. You see Area 51, you see weird cave, you're like, oh, hell yeah, I gotta know, and then it's nothing. So another possibility to consider, Kenny might still be alive. I mean, his body's never been found. About a year before his last hike, Kenny quit his job as a service technician. He worked for 17 years and he saved enough money so that he could live the life that he wanted to live. Kenny's goal was to open up his own decorating company called Cowboy Design. He wanted to live on his own terms at that point, and he took a huge chance by quitting his job. Another one of his dreams was to sell his inventions. He invented things here and there, and he desperately wanted to make it onto Shark Tank. Some of the stuff he invented was kind of cool, some of it was not, and none of it garnered any commercial success. Kenny, unfortunately, had invested quite a bit of money into designing and engineering his inventions, so when they failed to sell, he ended up losing big time. He had gone through almost all of his retirement fund. Yeah, that's not good. Leading some to speculate that he created the MK video for YouTube as a way to make money. And if it was his next money-making scheme, he may have been onto something because the video generated a lot of responses and Kenny liked the attention. His popularity began to grow on social media as well. So at least I can see some incentive here for making this video and making this wild claim. Another possibility to consider is that, maybe Kenny faked his disappearance to start a new life somewhere else. When his sister-in-law Susan heard the news that he was gone, she thought that Kenny had, just slipped and fallen into a hole somewhere and he would likely never be found. Then she saw a surveillance video from her business, Enchanted Forest Reiki Center, in 2018 after someone had broken in. She said that she watched the footage over and over again in disbelief because on the video, she believed she saw Kenny. And Susan wasn't the only one who believed that Kenny was in her store 4 years after he disappeared. She contacted his daughter, Vicky, and Vicky agreed that she believed it was her father on that video. I saw the footage and it could be him, but it's extremely blurry. Vicky thinks that it's possible that her father had enough of struggling and failing at business ventures. He had run out of money, and maybe he just decided to start fresh somewhere else. It's entirely possible that Kenny, an avid outdoorsman and expert on the terrain, could live as a desert dweller. His daughter believes that he could absolutely be alive and well and living in the desert somewhere. And honestly, I think that's just wishful thinking on her part. But Susan believes that Kenny had a motive to disappear after searching for the cave, and that motive was internet fame. Kenny posted this video claiming to have found a mysterious cave near Area 51. It gained a ton of interest. And then he continues the story with another video claiming, oh, wait, I can't find the cave. And the third time he goes looking for it, he disappears entirely. That, of course, sends internet sleuths into a tizzy, and Snakebit McGee now has roughly 60,000 subscribers to his channel. And that's just his channel alone. That's not other people who have shared his video. This is just his channel. The M Cave hike video posted on his channel has over 3 million views and counting. He could somehow be making revenue from those videos, although YouTube will not confirm that he has made any money from their site. Like, when you get paid from ad revenue, they either pay you out via direct deposit or you take it out like through something like PayPal or something like that. They have never confirmed that he has done that, but the police did check his financial records later, which I will get into. Susan, whose hair is so big because it's full of secrets, believes that there may have been a life insurance policy taken out on Kenny by someone else, but that has never been substantiated. It was investigated by Las Vegas PD, but detectives said that it's actually pretty difficult to find out if someone has a life insurance policy in their name. That is, unless you find documents to that effect or financial documents or a third party comes forward.
But as of today, no one has petitioned the court to collect any of Kenny Veach's property. Kenny's daughter fully believes that her father is alive, and so does Susan. Like I said, they both watched the surveillance video of the break-in at Susan's business, and they agreed that it's him. But rather than be angry that he broke in, Susan says that she is upset because she believes that Kenny abandoned his adult daughter and his granddaughter. She's also angry that Search and Rescue has invested so much time and money looking for Kenny when he, in fact, doesn't need any rescuing. Susan said that she doesn't care if Kenny gets arrested. She just wants his daughter to have some closure. And Vicky said that as long as she has an answer, that she's fine with whatever Kenny's decision was. So really, they just want closure. But her husband, Susan's husband, Kenny's brother, does not believe that the man on the surveillance video is his brother. He also claimed that Kenny didn't even know about the store. And I feel like the only way that could be possible is if it opened after Kenny disappeared, but his brother did not elaborate. I watched a series of interviews on ID Discovery with his family. Susan believes, she has just a bajillion theories, she believes that Kenny's disappearance was highly orchestrated by the man himself. She believes that the day he went missing, Kenny went out into the desert and staged the whole thing by leaving his cell phone and some coins right next to an abandoned mine that he had filmed before. So she knows, and we know, that Kenny knew the location of that mine and that it wasn't hidden at all. It was actually, there was like a big pulley system up above it, so you could see it from pretty far away. And she does not believe that he just fell down there and that no one can find him. Also, it doesn't make sense that he would just take his phone out of his pocket. Like, if he were going to fall, why would you know to take your phone out of your pocket? If he fell, the phone most likely would have gone down with him. But police don't believe that Kenny staged his own disappearance and then started somewhere else, you know, because he would have left some sort of a paper trail. If he applied for a work card or a driver's license, he would be found out. Fugitives do disappear and create new identities. It does happen, but they typically have a well-connected support system behind them to craft those documents and identification. Like, you can't just do that. You can't do what I did in college. I'm not admitting to anything, but you can't make your own fake ID using like a template from LimeWire and buying a laminating machine and then use that ID for many, many years. And then you get it taken away right before you turn 21. And you got to go a couple of months without being able to drink with your friends at restaurants. That never happened to me. I think the obvious question here is, what was, you know, was Kenny on the store surveillance video? Was it really him? That would settle this whole debate, right? Well, surveillance expert George Joseph took a look at the footage that allegedly shows Kenny Veach. And what he found odd was that the man on the video just kind of walked around the shop and he didn't seem to take any valuables. Like, he knew exactly what he was looking for, and it didn't seem to be money. Another weird thing about the video was that the perpetrator moved so quickly that the entire break-in took about 45 seconds. The man climbed in through a window and walked straight to the counter. He ran his hand under the counter in two different places, clearly looking for something that he believed was there. Having not found what he was looking for, he turned and dropped something onto the floor, and it's not clear what that was. It sort of looked like a flashlight. I don't know. Could have been any number of things. He picks it up, then he goes back to the window, grabbing an iPad on the way out, almost as an afterthought. George says that the man in the video was clearly looking for something specific that he did not find, but he says that he cannot say for certain one way or another if the man on the video is Kenny. But George believes that there are some other methods that could analyze the footage, specifically facial recognition technology. So the company Biometrica ran the surveillance stills through their system by comparing two different images against a picture of Kenny. Unfortunately, because the camera was infrared, the image quality was too low for the software to find a face, let alone to make a match to a picture of Kenny. So just adding another layer to the mystery dip. Kenny's brother believes that if he did indeed stage his own disappearance, that he would not still be in Las Vegas. He believes that Kenny would have gone back east to be with a family member. And again, he did not elaborate on who or why. But Raymond, and that's his name, does not believe that his brother is still out there somewhere, mainly because he doesn't believe that he would be able to just walk away from his daughter without contacting her at the very least. The break-in remains unsolved, and Las Vegas police also say that they cannot confirm that the man on the video is Kenny Veach, but they also can't deny it. So if he did just die in the desert, as police believe, that's their theory, why have none of the many search and rescue efforts found his body? Well, apparently there's a cheery little saying that sometimes the desert just doesn't give up its bodies. And that should not be a saying. That's absolutely terrifying. It's the stuff of nightmares. Apparently, there have been many planes that have gone down in the desert that weren't found for years, and they're huge compared to a human body. Kenny's brother likened searching for a body in a desert to finding a needle in a cornfield. So the task is just incredibly daunting. The Mojave is a mountainous desert with lots of crevasses and shafts that could easily hide a body. So rescuers could have walked right by Kenny's body and never even seen him. The theory that police believe is, of course, that Kenny died out there in the desert. But detectives say that they put together an extensive case file on Kenny, and nothing showed any signs of life after the day he disappeared. You know, there were no charges made to his debit card, no money withdrawn from his bank, and no sightings other than the alleged one in 2018. He was completely quiet on social media, whereas he had been incredibly active before. They went to Kenny's girlfriend, his daughter, his brother, the people who knew him best and whom he might have contacted. They interviewed them just to see, you know, what was going on before his death. They took DNA samples from his family and they searched his home with Sharon's permission. Because, I mean, 7 years, they're common law married. During the search, one detective went to Kenny's computer and searched in his files and in his history. He called Sharon over and said that he needed to show her something. A search of Kenny's computer files revealed a shocker that added yet another twist to this investigation. Kenny's house, we're going to get into that, was his pride and joy. He'd spent hours designing the interior with custom decor, and he actually made a lot of it himself. The entire house was an expression of Kenny's personality and was described as a country-themed museum on Nevada's history. Okay, little eccentric, I like it. He was incredibly proud of it. But less than a year after quitting his job, Kenny was in severe financial trouble, and he put his beloved home up for sale. But Kenny wasn't just selling the house outright. Oh no, there was a huge caveat. He wanted to sell the home with him in it, quite literally. Kenny wanted to sell his house and stay there as the caretaker, and oh yeah, you can't make any changes to the house whatsoever. What a sweet deal. This was just very clearly a last resort for Kenny, who was desperate for money. It seems that the bubbly and energetic Kenny was down on his luck in the months before his disappearance. It sounds like it. He had a lot of things go wrong. His family and girlfriend all said that he was depressed and even brought up the idea of him getting counseling. Kenny admitted that he did have issues with depression and that he had for a very long time, but that he had just gotten used to it and learned to live with it. In what now seems like foreshadowing, the night before he disappeared, Sharon and Kenny went to see the movie Birdman with Michael Keaton. I loved it. I thought it was a hell of a comeback for Michael Keaton, and he will always be Batman to me. Fight me. Well, Sharon hated the movie because Keaton's character completes suicide at the end. After the movie, they'd driven there separately and they each went to their cars, and she said that she could just feel sadness emanating from Kenny, and she asked if she could give him another hug just because she felt like he needed it. The very next day, Kenny set off on his final adventure. In hindsight, Sharon believes that Kenny already knew what he was going to do and that he just could not hide his sadness from her. Also, while searching his home, police found journals and poems written by Kenny in which he talked about his depression. And that takes us back to
the search of his computer. The detective brought Sharon over to Kenny's computer and showed her a typed message that he found. It said, "Help me," something like 50 or 60 times. He just typed "help me" in over and over and over. That doesn't look good at all. I mean, it is a literal cry for help. He is writing, "Help me, help me, help me, help me," over and over and over. That doesn't look good. During the investigation, Sharon shared with the police something that Kenny told her in the past that might explain why Kenny's body was never found. When Kenny was in his early 20s, his father completed suicide, and Kenny admitted that he himself had suicidal ideations from the time his dad died on. According to Sharon, Kenny told her that if he did attempt suicide, that he would never do it in his own house, and that no one would ever find him. Huh. Police believed that he had the skills and the knowledge to make that a reality. He knew the most remote places in the desert, and he could have walked for days into the Mojave and then miles into a cave or mine before he was even reported missing. Based on the statements from Kenny's family and girlfriend, the note found on his computer, along with forensic accounting looking into his financial records in an attempt to locate him, police came to the conclusion that there was a very strong possibility that Kenny Veach parked his car in the desert and wandered off without any intention of returning. Kenny Veach's case remains open, and search and rescue teams continue to look for him if they're in the Mojave. These teams have found bodies of people who disappeared in the desert years ago, like 5-10 years ago. So they're hopeful that one day they'll also find Snakebit McGee. So what do you think happened here? I'm going to tell you what I think happened, and it's bleak. I'm sorry to say, I think that Kenny Veach died out there in the desert. I can't say for sure if he went out there with the intention of dying, but I think that's exactly what happened. It kind of all adds up to that. He quit his job. He tried his hand at his dreams of interior design and inventing, and he failed. He failed miserably. He blew through his retirement. He was going to lose his most prized possession, his house. Oh, God. It's just a series of just devastating events. He also took his gun out there with him. So, yeah. The suicidal ideations, I feel, are entirely possible since his father did complete suicide. And Kenny said that those thoughts started after that. Mental illness, it'll run in families, just saying. And the only person who brought that up was Kenny's girlfriend, though. Neither his daughter nor his brother had ever heard him talk about that. But I don't know that he would have admitted something like that to them. That's something that you tell to your closest confidant. And Sharon was with Kenny for 7 years intimately, so I would say that's pretty close. You don't have to go around advertising that you're depressed or suicidal to be depressed and suicidal. That's all I'm saying. It just takes one bad day, and this guy seemed to have a lot of them. Yes, the surveillance video in his sister-in-law's store does show a man that resembles Kenny, but Kenny was just kind of normal looking, no offense. He wasn't super tall. He wasn't super short. He was just a regular weight, like kind of thin, and he had brown hair. Like, how many men in the world match that description? Probably millions. And from what everyone who knew him said, he would not have just left his daughter. I don't think that he just like left and is living in the desert or left and went somewhere else. And I'm not buying it. I'm just not. Do I think the M cave actually exists? Well, I think it might. One YouTuber actually claims to have found the cave that Kenny described in the Mojave. I posted the link to the both YouTube videos, the M cave hike video and this video of the person allegedly finding the M cave. And it does look like an M. It is an M. And the user followed Kenny's directions from the MK video. So in the video from the user who found the cave, he said that he felt none of the vibrations that Kenny said he did, and he couldn't find anything like a trap door or, you know, an entrance to Area 51, because it would be so easy to find. And that's a very common theory. There was also no sign that anyone had been in that cave really in a very long time. I don't think the cave is a hidden entrance to Area 51. I just don't. Why would anyone put an unsecured entrance to possibly one of the most secure areas in the world in a cave that could easily and has easily been found? I think it's just a cave that looks weird that Kenny saw. Maybe it gave him the heebie-jeebies and he ran with it.
That's my thought. I hate to disappoint you. I know you thought maybe I'd go off on a tangent and be like, the government took him. He's in Area 51. But I don't think that's what happened at all. I think this was a guy who had suffered and struggled with depression for most of his life. He had a lot of just really bad, like, honestly, life-ruining things happen to him. Some things that he probably was not going to come back from. Losing your house, losing your entire retirement fund, quitting your job. Like, that's a whole lot. Really, it is. And he allegedly told his girlfriend that he could disappear himself and never be found. I believe him when he says that. He was as close to an expert on the area as it gets. I just hope that someday Kenny Veach's family gets some closure one way or another, because it really seems like that's all they want. Well, thank you for listening. I'd love to hear what you think. If you think that Kenny Veach is in Area 51 and has been adopted by an alien family, let me know. We might have to organize another Storm Area 51 event where we all just like tailgate outside of Area 51 and they call us nerds behind our backs. If you like what you hear, you can hear more on Mondays and Fridays on all podcast platforms. On social media, you can find me on Instagram at Autumn's Oddcast, on Facebook at Autumn's Oddities, on Patreon at Autumn's Oddities, and also on TikTok. I think it's under Autumn's Oddities. I don't know. I've only put one video up and it's of my cat. So yeah, one day I'll get to post in more of that stuff, but like that's like a whole ordeal doing a TikTok. You got to put makeup on because you know people on the internet are so mean. And even if I like look as good as I can look, somebody's still going to call me ugly on the internet. So, you know, I'm a little hesitant to use that platform because everyone's so hateful on it. Either way, I'm sorry if you just heard that loud click. I just kicked the hell out of my chair. Anyway, I appreciate you listening. And remember, if it's creepy and weird, you'll find it here.